Welcome to the Go Live Your Story podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Elko. I'm a former journalist turned entrepreneur, and I believe that in both life and business, your story is your superpower. I'm on a mission to help you see that stories empower not only those who hear them, but those who share them. Because when you share your stories, you share more of your whole self. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur, a newer business owner figuring things out, or a mom in car line, you're in the right place if you're looking to connect on a deeper level through shared experiences. Take a sip from your emotional support water bottle and let's dive into today's story. Welcome back to another episode of the Go Live Your Story podcast. Today, I'm chatting with my own mindset guru. She is an empowerment coach, host of the CourageCast podcast, an author, and my friend. Andrea Crisp has worked with women around the world, helping them to harness their confidence, hone their potential, and use their voice in a powerful way. Her clients affectionately call her their secret weapon because of her unique ability to call out the potential. And I can personally vouch for that. Andrea has helped me to shift and grow my own mindset, and she and I have the best conversations that often go on for hours. So I am excited to record one of those conversations here for you today. So welcome, Andrea. It's so great to have you today.
Courtney, thank you for having me. I love it. I wanted to giggle the whole way through your intro. I was like, oh my gosh, yes.
Good to be here. Yes. So tell us, who are you and what do you do?
Well, you know, as you said, my name is Andrea. I always say that I am a big city girl living in a small town. I'm a dog mom. I know you can understand that well. You talk a lot about, you know, being a single woman, no kids. I've never been married. So, you know, there's a lot of things I think that of like who I am. But I think at my core, I just really love people. I love to be in relationship with other people, and I love to see the potential come out of people. So I'm an empowerment coach. I help them do that. I help them step into their power in a really unique way.
Yes. Yes, you do. Yes. And so, yeah, like how did you come to be a mindset and an empowerment coach? I feel like I know a little bit about your journey. And it seems like somewhat of a natural progression that you made into the coaching space. So tell us a little bit about your story, how you got to empowerment.
Yeah. You know, I started off as a teacher, which was kind of like a little bit like plan B of what I really wanted to do with my life. But I won't get into that particular story, but I was a teacher and then I was a pastor in a church. And there was a time in my career that I was working with my lead pastor, and he was my boss. And we were just talking about leadership and about, you know, leading within context of community. And there's a lot of community in the church that I was a part of. And I was leading many, many people at the time. And he said to me, "Have you ever looked into life coaching?" And I was like, "What the heck is that?" And I had in my mind this picture of what I thought it was. And then he said, "Well, I know someone. Why don't you get in touch with her?" And I did. And I had a session with her. It totally blew my mind. Like, it was like, what is this? Now, I had a background in counseling. I had a master's degree in counseling. So that had been part of my life as well. But the coaching aspect of it was so different. And from that point on, I was like, okay, this is something I want to do. So that's kind of how I got started. And I actually, it's funny you bring this up, like, you know, how did you get started? I was certified as a coach 12 years ago, about 2 days ago. So I had I had my 12th anniversary. So it seems really strange. So I have actually been in the coaching industry over a decade.
Wow, so you're the OG. You're an OG.
I'm an OG. I was a coach before there was online coaches.
Yes, you were doing in-person coaching.
I was doing in-person group coaching. I was doing all of the retreats long before it was a thing online.
Wow, that's cool. And were you doing, were you still in the preacher? Were you still teaching and being a preacher as well as a life coach, or had you taken
at the time I kind of was both. So my title was worship pastor and young adults. And so we had a Monday night service, which was just geared towards young adult people. So anywhere between like 18 to, I don't know, 35. And so I ran that entire service. I would sing. I was part of the preaching team. So we had a team of people that we rotated through. They were all young. And so that was kind of what I did. And then on Sunday mornings, I would actually lead the song service. And I'd have an opportunity to speak as well during some of the services. So I was on the preaching team as at the church as well. So when I started coaching, it was like something I was doing on the side, and it was really great to use with my leaders, because it went from a model of like talking about how to tell somebody what to do, like more of a mentorship role. And when people are mentored, it's like experiential, like, let me tell you what I've done, and then you can do the same thing. Whereas with coaching, it was, let's talk about where you're at and how you can shift and change and how you can lead better and how you can do those things. And so they would come to their own realizations. And that was how I coached people within that context. And it was amazing seeing that, because that was not what had been happening in the church at that point. It was a lot of telling people, do this. And I came in and started telling, you know, asking them, how do you want to show up differently? And there were programs that were thriving because people were in their power and they were showing up in a different way as a leader.
That's cool. Yeah. And you're definitely still doing that today.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, like in a lot of ways, it really hasn't changed. Like I kind of feel like everything that I have done in the course of my career as a teacher, then in pastoring, and then now as a coach has been very similar, just different people, different ways of doing it. And so I change it that way, but the kind of the gift set that I've used has been, you know, pretty steady throughout the whole time.
So how did you take it to full time in the coaching world? How did that shift come about?
Well, I lost my job.
As one does. I know that story well. Me too.
That's how that happened. I actually, you know, my at the time, I mean, it was a longer story than what I'll get into, but my lead pastor had been diagnosed with cancer, and he had not been doing very well for many years. And we as a team were trying to lead while he was getting treatment, and it was just getting harder and harder. We had a board of directors, of course, in the church. And at the time, they wanted to take my position down to part-time. And I would not have been able to, like, really sustainably being able to live in Toronto with a part-time salary, doing as much work as they really wanted me to do. And so I kind of saw that as my opportunity to be like, okay, I think this is where we part ways. And that's when I went into coaching full-time. But I have to say, like, I see a lot of coaches that like rise to this huge, you know, success. That was not my story. This was in 2014, and I had no idea what I was doing. So I lost my job, and then I'm a coach, and I'm, you know, trying to figure out how to get clients and then how to get online and do all of that. So it was a huge learning curve for me.
Wow. I don't think I knew that part of your journey.
I know. I'm trying to pull out the things that maybe people have not heard.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. So when did things start to get rolling for you? How tell us about the struggle a little bit of how you worked through that struggle.
Yeah. So what ended up happening was, especially like with the online stuff. So I invested in programs and some coaching early on that were honestly well beyond what I was ready for. And it actually caused me to really have a lot more self-doubt. I came in more confidently than when I was in the online space and seeing what was happening. That actually pulled me back. And that caused me to doubt my capacity and what I could do probably because all of a sudden I had to do all of these business things and I had to show up online and market and do my messaging and all those things. And it just felt really overwhelming. And I had underlying anxiety and depression that I really hadn't dealt with and that just blew up in my face. And so in those first years, it was a real struggle for me because I was dealing with that and trying to build a business. And so it really wasn't until I think I remember as a pandemic was starting, and it was like March of, I guess, 2020. And I just made a decision. This is not going to define me anymore. I had done a lot of healing and I really made the switch then and made a decision. I'm moving forward. Even if the world is going to stop, I'm not.
Yeah, that it was a pivotal time to make a decision like that too. When, yeah. Wow. Was it the pandemic? What kind of pushed you to make the decision at that time? Was it the pandemic, or you were just fed up with how things were going that you made the conscious decision, or was it a subconscious decision?
You know what? I mean, it could have been a little bit of both. I'm glad you brought that up. I think that there was a part of me that was ready to just step in and really allow myself to be seen. And I think I saw more than ever people really being negative, both in real life and online. And I was like, that's not me. That doesn't feel like me. So I think I leaned into who I was a bit more and allowed myself to be seen. And I decided to take some bigger risks in that time. And instead of shrinking back, I started pushing forward. And that really started my transformation journey in mindset specifically, because up until that point, I had done a lot of inner healing work, but I really didn't know what mindset work was. And that's when I started that for myself. So I kind of look at my own journey in coaching as like my own mindset journey, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how to move past my own limiting beliefs and how to really, grow something and really impact other people alongside, you know, my own transformation. So yeah, there's two things happening at the same time.
So was it difficult to let go of that past version of you? Was it hard to say goodbye to the old version of you and become this new version of you? I know you talk a lot with your clients about becoming your next level self, and you did the same thing several times, I think.
You know what? And I talk about that because I think it's a real thing. And I think for the most part, just like anyone else, I struggled with, you know, who am I in context of my family and the people who know me in real life, and how am I showing up online? And I think there is such a stigma that we have to show up with this, you know, perfect version of ourselves and, you know, look at me and look how great I am and successful I am, and, you know, hire me as a coach. And really, I think if we're all honest, we're dealing behind the scenes with a lot of stuff, a lot of limitations that we've put on ourselves, things that have been said to us or about us from family of origin. So there were all those things, you know, at play myself that I was, you know, having to move beyond. And I have to say this, like, you know, even though I coach my clients on this a lot, there's always another layer. So just when you've like kind of like, oh yeah, I've made some traction, it's like, yep, there's something else. I'm like, what? How is this even possible? Like, how is there more? But you know, that's why I think it's a journey. I don't think when with mindset that it's like one and done, like, oh great, I know my mindset now. Yay, check that off the list. It's something that when you are, you know, really committed to being a certain way and really living into your potential, I think that you make the commitment that mindset is part of the journey for you as you go.
I think that's one of the biggest things I learned from you personally, that I had done what I now realize is like surface level mindset work before I met you. I was like, yeah, like I've done mindset work. I worked on limiting beliefs. I moved past that. And then after meeting you and having conversations with you and working with you, I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. There are layers. And as you grow, there are more layers, just like you said. Like, so there's always mindset work to be done, which I don't know that I personally really understood until I learned that.
You know, it's so interesting. Like I have this vision in my mind right now of like a glass, right? And so we have like some water in there, but it's kind of dirty. It's dirty water. And it's like, okay, well, you know, okay, I want to do a little bit of mindset work. So I'm going to get rid of the water. I'm going to try and get the water out of here. I'm going to try to get those old mindset beliefs out. And there's really no way to do that unless you pour out the entire glass, but then you'd have nothing left, right? You'd have no water left in the glass. The only way to do that is to pour clean water in the glass until all of the old dirty water has come out. So it's a continual pouring in of the water, and it overflows, overflows, overflows until eventually the glass is completely clear. And so I think of it as this thing about being filled up in order to give out. And so if we're not really doing the inner work, we're trying to do it with all this dirty water. Like, it's like our own stuff is showing up in business. Our own stuff is showing up with clients. Our own stuff is, you know, showing up in, you know, the coaching or mentoring space. But when we're pouring in clear water and it's continual pouring in and it's our own inner work continuing to happen, that overflow gets clearer and clearer and clearer, and it pours out onto the people who are working with. And that makes a big difference in their lives. And they start to have accelerated progress for themselves because we are doing the work. And so it's not, you can't just sit with it and be like, oh, well, that's great. I'm done. You know, like, so it really is a continual pouring in.
Oh my God. I love that analogy.
You can see it, right?
But I will say, I think you have your own connection with water and how like this whole, I was watching your stories. You were on a little getaway and you were saying how the ocean and the water like brings you life. And just you tell us about this vacation that you just went on, because I feel like putting yourself in a different location is just inspiring and brings on all the aha moments. And it seems like from what I witnessed on social media that you had many of those, just having a little getaway out of your regular space.
You know, I'll share with you something like I haven't really shared with anybody, you know, obviously post vacation, but I just got back last night and I spent 3 weeks in Florida and in Panama City Beach, where the beaches are the most spectacular beaches. And we had some really beautiful weather. So that meant I would walk every single day. Now, I had created a manifesto and an intention around my vacation that I visualized and I spoke 4 months before. So I already knew kind of what I needed out of the vacation and how I wanted to feel. And I have to say, Courtney, everything happened. Everything manifested. Now, not in the exact ways that I would have imagined it to look, but one of the very first lines was that how I was going to feel when my feet hit the sand. And how I was going to feel when the sun was on my face and I was, you know, where the ocean's like crashing in around me. And there's something about that energetic pull of the ocean that just feels so clearing and reinvigorating. And so one of the things that really kind of came up for me was I want to really be in my business in a different way. And I think that kind of goes back to something that I said earlier, which is we listen too much to what other people are telling us to do. And we get stuck in this way of doing things without really taking the time to go, what is it that I want? How do I want to show up in this? And how do I want to show up in my life? Because if I'm not doing both of those things, if I'm not showing up for my life, what's the point of building this business? And so it was really kind of this time for me to be like, you know what? I want to show up for myself in a whole new way and know that my business can support that. And then allow my business to, like, almost like as having its own energy, tell me, what does it need? What does it need from me? And so if I'm, you know, in a place where I'm doing the inner work for myself and I'm in a healthy place, you know, mind, body, spirit, then I can know, okay, what does my business need for me to flourish and to thrive and to make impact? And I can do that. And then I can walk away from it at the end of the day and be like, okay, now it's my time to live. And the ocean, that part of it for me was just kind of like that real, that time where I was like, okay, I'm getting clear on what do I want. And almost like it almost shifted the energy for me.
You were pouring water into your cup, literally.
I was. Like, sometimes I literally feel like sometimes it's like those waves are like, it's almost like energetically pushing everything out. And it's this clearing thing. So I find water very powerful. And I think, you know, everybody has a different modality. Sometimes it's mountains or sun or music or poetry or, you know, it could be anything, but mine definitely is water.
I love that you set an intention for your vacation. You wrote a manifesto for your vacation. I would never have think to do such a thing. And I'm a big planner of a vacation, so I would be busy making my itinerary and not thinking about the intention of the vacation. But that's amazing that if all fell into place of exactly what you intended.
Well, you know, it's like when you go on a vacation, you think to yourself, you're like, what do you want to feel? And then you get there and you spend the first week decompressing. And it's so difficult to even like get yourself in vacation mode that by the time you're done, you're like gearing back up to go back home. And so I really was like, well, how do I want to feel in this? And then literally the first day that I was traveling, it almost was like accelerated version of decompressing. So by the time I got there, I was ready. Like I was there. I was there. I could feel myself there. And I was like, okay, wow, this is really, now I haven't done it to that degree before of like how I did it this time, but yeah, just like, I mean, even to the conversations I wanted to have with people, like I want to have interesting conversations with people and like, you know, just all of those things. I want to feel creative. I want to feel at peace and content and not feel like stressed or worried. And of course I put that in positive tense so that, you know, that's what I'm intending to have. But that's really what I focused on, even to like the how my travel would be, my actual travel there and back, people I would see, all that.
That's such a good idea. I'm so doing that the next time. 'Cause yeah, I feel like if there's a lot of, like your vacation expectations can sometimes not be met.
And then
And you're all annoyed that, oh, well, we didn't get to do this, or this didn't happen the way I wanted it to, or there was a long line and this or that. But yeah, to actually go in with it. And it makes you very present. You are in vacation. You're at the beach. You're not thinking about business and you're not thinking about what's going to happen when you come back. You're present.
Can I tell you a story? I know you love stories. So
I do.
I would go walking every day at the conservation park in Panama City Beach. It's this beautiful area. It's so green and lush. And one of the days that I was walking, I ran into, well, not physically ran into, but I met this older gentleman with a dog and we had this conversation. It was really like, you know, kind of just starting to talk about dogs and all this stuff. And anyways, he asked about, you know, where I was from. And I said, oh, I'm from Canada. And he said, oh, I just sold property in Canada a few years ago. And I said, oh, really, whereabouts? And he was telling me, and it's actually more north than where I am, shockingly. But he says, would you like to see a picture of my, you know, the property I owned? And I said, sure. And so he pulled up on his phone the most beautiful, beautiful property with this huge cottage. I mean, I say it's a cottage, but it was like a home, like a huge home. And And he said, yeah, we would fly the plane in and let like one of those planes that land on water. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. So he's telling me, you know, like we would do that. And he said, we'd only go for a few months a year. And then we had someone who lived on the property and took care of it the rest of the year while we were here in Florida. And he was telling me that he had a company that created those chips for dogs to be put into like animals. Mm-hmm. So obviously he's made a lot of money, right? And he was showing me all of the things like, you know, that he had on the property up in Canada and how beautiful it was. And I remember walking away and I thought, man, that guy has a lot of money. Like he's an older gentleman. He's telling me where he lives now. I would say he's in his mid-80s. And I thought, what it, like, how random that he told me all of that stuff. Like, why me? Why me having that conversation with him? And so as I'm kind of walking, I'm like, well, I asked to meet interesting people and to have interesting conversations. And as I walked away, there were so many things about what he had and done. He had been a principal in his past. He had been in the military. He had been an inventor and he owned these properties. And there were so many things about what I desire in my own life. And I was given an opportunity to see someone and have a conversation with them that has had that. And it's like in proximity to them and having a conversation and be like, I could reach out and touch you and be like, you're real. And this has happened for you. And because it's happened for you, it can happen for me. And it makes it so much more tangible and real. And that's what happens when you open yourself up to having these enriching conversations. But I did that because I was present, because I knew what I wanted, because I planned it in advance and I made intention towards what I desired. I wasn't loosey-goosey on what do I want. I was like, I know exactly how I want to feel and how, and then I let the universe give me those things. I would never have imagined meeting an 85-year-old gentleman in the park and having a conversation, but really feeling like, wow, this is incredible. So, I mean, just stuff like that, right? Like, you never know.
You never know. And I have chills listening to that because, yes, you literally asked for it and received exactly what you were needing to hear and wanting to hear and to oh, I love that. So the fact that this man was showing you that things are possible for possibly your future.
Yeah.
Is amazing. Oh my God. I love that. I'm so setting an intention next time. I'm absolutely doing that. Even just for like a family event to set an intention of, okay, well, I'm going to this family party. How would I like it to be? And if there's struggles in the family and, or you know that, oh, this always happens at every family dinner, flipping that around and setting a positive intention for it. And maybe you would receive that over like going in with the negative, oh, like, here we go again. You could use that in so many ways.
It's like, I think even when they use the word, and maybe I'll receive it. It's like, I will receive it. Like, I know it's available to me. The one thing that I think I've really kind of taken for myself lately is if you've had a dream about something, if it's actually come to your mind and you've visualized it, it is possible for you. And I think what we sometimes think is that, well, I've had this dream or I imagined something happening. That's not really possible for me. That's like way beyond. You could not actually visualize something that is not possible for you. Everything you have envisioned yourself doing, receiving, being part of is for you if you will allow it to be. And that's where the key is. I think that's where we get stuck is because we don't allow it to be. We find reasons to put up roadblocks, sabotage, find our own limitations and let them be louder than receiving the very thing that we want and we desire. And I can honestly say that I have done it. I continue to do it. It is an ongoing process of, why am I in my own way? Why am I stopping myself from receiving this next thing? And it's like, sometimes we think, okay, well, I got it. Now I'm just going to keep receiving. It's like, no, because there's another sabotage that I'm wanting to throw at it and be like, you know, like, here, let me find a way to get my own way again, you know?
Yep. Yep.
And really it's about that continual process of saying, no, if I have dreamed it, if it is in my imagination, if I know it is possible, even in the slightest degree, that I can have that. And that is everything from finances to relationships to family to business to a vacation.
I love this. I feel like I'm having like a mindset session with you right now. Yeah. So what is some advice that you would give to someone? I mean, you just did give a bunch of advice there, but it's someone who is maybe struggling with the self sabotage or with the mindset stuff or putting up roadblocks for themselves. What's something they could do today or this week that could shift them back into the, I don't even know, what's the opposite of self-sabotage?
Well, you know, it's, our subconscious looks for proof. So it's always looking for proof that something is true, which is why we get in our own way, right? So it's like, well, I don't know that to be true. What is more true for me is scarcity. What's more true for me is not being able to pay that. Or what's more true for me is feeling like I'm left out. Or what's more true for me is, and then we have all of these things, right? So I would say the very first thing, if someone's like feeling I'm sabotaging myself or I'm finding the proof to show me all the bad stuff, right? Take something small. And really, that doesn't feel as like you're in the pressure cooker. And start to ask the universe, God, whatever your higher power is, I really want to manifest this. Show me how, or, you know, what you want for me in this. And it could be something like, you know, having a conversation with somebody. It could be being invited into something that, you know, you could easily find the proof of it being possible. The more you show your subconscious the proof of the possibility of it, the more you step into belief of it. The more you step into belief, then you can start incrementally shifting into more and more belief. And I think that's where we can start being. Like, a lot of times when there are people who want to make a bigger income, they may have worked a 9-to-5 job and made slightly over minimum wage for years. And they come into the online space and they see all these coaches are like, I'm making $30,000 a month or $40,000 a month. Well, A, they're probably not actually making that because that's not their profit. That's just maybe what's coming in. They have a whole team. They pay out the team. They may actually be walking away with way less than what they're telling you online that they're making, right? So it's kind of like, you know, remove yourself from those kinds of things and start to say, okay, I really believe that I can make this much, and start shifting it and move it forward in belief for what you can believe for and keep moving it forward. The worst thing that I think people can do is like trying to jump so far ahead because the subconscious is like, yeah, no, don't believe it. So then you stay there. And that's, you know, and I'm not saying that people couldn't make that money, because you very well could make that money. It's possible. Anything's possible. But do you believe it's possible? That's the question. And so you really, really want to incrementally shift the belief and have expectation that what you believe for is going to manifest. That was a lot. Sorry.
No, that was great. And I feel like I just did that for myself recently. So I mean, with the pulling it back a little bit, like I'm just so tired of not having enough and being in scarcity. So recently I was like, I'm done. I'm making 10K months. Like that's happening. And then within seconds, my subconscious was like, no, you're not. So I was like, okay, all right, let's pull it back. We're not going to go from like zero to 10K in overnight. So then I pulled it back to 5K. I'm like, that's possible. That is actually possible. You can do it. We're doing it. It's happening. We're over being poor. So that's happening. But I did have to pull it back. Like 10K was too big for me to jump from. So making it more, I know this is not a word we're allowed to use with you, but realistic with the 5K, at least I can believe that.
The subconscious is like the proof. It's like maybe you've made 5K in your life sometime. And it's like, yeah, I know. Yeah, you can. Then it's like, okay, and I make it again and again and again and again. But I think sometimes we get stuck in this, you know, there's been times where I have pulled in, Courtney, some of the most negative shit. And it's because even though my desire is like this beautiful thing, my fear is like running the program. And I'm like trying to focus on the other thing, trying to focus on the other thing. And then I will pull in and I have like, there will probably be times where I'll like, I've the worst fears imaginable have happened. Because, and I'm thinking to myself, I actually had something happen not long ago where that was the case. And I thought to myself, gotta be fucking kidding me. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on this, but I was literally like thinking, you have to be kidding that I am in this place. But I could honestly say to myself, yeah, but you knew that that was your fear and you let it keep running. You let the program keep running and you let yourself kind of believe it still. And because even it felt like it was like, well, I'm not really focusing on that. I'm trying to focus on this, but it was in the program. And it was the underlying fear, and I manifested the underlying fear. And there I was. And I think sometimes we get to that like bottom, rock bottom place and be like, wow, I don't know that there's probably any lower I can go. Like, this is all the stuff I feared. And the reason why we manifest it is because even if we were trying to focus on something better, it was still running the show. And still underneath it all, our default was going back to it. All the time. And so it's like, just find those things that we can easily pull ourselves into so that it's like, okay, this is proof for this. This is, and then be in gratitude. And then the more we are, the more we're seeing how much more is possible. And we can pull ourselves out of it.
So looking for the proof, or asking the universe to show us the proof, of how, like, the man that you met on the trail, he was the proof for you.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yes. Love that.
Yeah. And I mean, it can be easy. Like, sometimes it's even like, you know, like it could be something as simple as like, you know, I want to manifest like, you know, discount on all my groceries. Like, you know, like it could be starting there. It's like, you know, I budget this much a month, but I'm going to manifest that I'm going to pay like $75 less. And there are things will be on sale, or I'll find a coupon, or, you know, something will happen. I mean, I remember one time my neighbor went came over and gave me a bunch of vegetables. And I was like, okay, didn't ask for this. And I hear all these vegetables, and I go back into the house. And the first thing I thought later on was like, the universe told me, Andrea, don't ever be afraid that you're never going to have enough food. Someone just literally walked over and gave you food out of nowhere. And it was it was almost like God's reminder to me, you will never be without, because that is how easy it can happen. Someone walks up to you and be like, hey, this is extra. We can't eat all of this. Would you eat this? And I'm like, sure. So I think that's the thing, right? So look for the things that you can move forward incrementally and shift yourself in, if it's in life or business or relationship that you can see yourself moving forward in, then do that. And then you'll be able to call in the next thing and the next thing. And you'll be surprised at how fast that actually starts happening if you don't jump to something like ridiculous, just because other people are.
And then it's having, so once you're shown the proofs, having the gratitude around that, that like, oh, okay, thank you for the random vegetables.
Totally random, right? But it's like, I think sometimes we don't take time to be in gratitude for those small things. And if really we wrote down or we were aware of like how much we've actually been given, we would be surprised at how much we are cared for and provided for. And the universe is actually giving to us that maybe we're taking for granted, or being like, oh, I'm so focused on this that I'm not even like in appreciation for this. If I focus on the appreciation of this thing, that would become the center of my focus and attention. And all of a sudden, the power, the balance of power would switch from the thing that I think I need and want to the appreciation. And that magnetizes more of the appreciation. You get more things, more opportunity, more things happen. And all that has less power now, because our focus is on what we are in appreciation for and gratitude of.
Well, I love talking to you. You're the best. So yeah. So what's coming up for you? What's next after your vacation? Where are things going in Andrea Crisp's life?
You know, I'm making some changes. Courtney, I'm opening up a group program. I don't even have it ready to go. I have no name.
But you'll manifest it. You'll find it.
But I'm going to tell you right now, because I think it's important. I have, for the longest time, I have really believed that when we link arms together and we will rise together. And there, I'm going to open up a, I don't know if it's called a mastermind or what it is, for higher level women who are ready to take those next steps in their life. And it's not just about learning from me. It's about being in a position to actually help someone else and also be supported. And I think that's when the real magic happens within the context of groups. And so that is what I'm going to be launching next. So if you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, that'd be so cool. Andrea hasn't even created that. I'm manifesting that. That's happening. So DM me. Because it's going to happen.
It is. And it sounds awesome. It already sounds great. With I know you'll build something amazing. That's for sure.
I'm very excited.
Yes. So where can people find you? Where's the best place to find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Andrea Crisp Coach, or you can also check out the podcast that I host that you've been on, listening to Courtney's episode. It's called The Courage Cast, and you can find that anywhere.
Love that. Thank you so much for being here, Andrea. I love having conversations with you, and this was an awesome episode. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, go live your story.